Hey everybody, join us as we delve into our favorite dark tales and paranormal mysteries.
Venture with us beyond the safe places that exist in daylight as we go
beyond the shadows. True crime.
Paranormal.
Hauntings.
UFOs.
Cryptids and unsolved mysteries.
Conspiracy theories.
Past lives.
Reincarnation.
And all the like are just a few of the topics that we will tackle.
If it haunts your fucking dreams, then it will be on our show.
Shadows where you found me at. You can't see me in the deepest blacks. When your heart start racing and you see the cracks, all these creepy things that you might attract. All the demons be where the action's at. So listen up if you want it. UFOs, all them ghosts, we got everything that you want. Whoa.
Do you know what the most frightening thing in the world is?
Hi and welcome back to Beyond the Shadows, episode 80.
Welcome back, shadow people.
So first of all, we got a couple new reviews on Apple this week, a couple new ratings and a review from Terry from Baltimore. So we just wanted to say thank you for taking the time to do that, the time to listen.
Yeah, we really appreciate the reviews too. They really help us get out there, you know, with the algorithm and everything. All that little shit counts, and we appreciate it all.
Yeah, thank you for listening, and thank you for the review. Hopefully we add more listeners. We'll get more fire pits. It kind of benefits everybody.
So absolutely.
So last night, we actually recorded an episode with Kevin from Where the Weird Ones Are.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it's coming out the
I think you said 2 weeks.
15th. Yeah, May 15th it'll be out. So go check that out. It's Where the Weird Ones Are. And it's Kevin and us that we did he does like a formal interview. If you don't know, some of you probably already listen, but he does like a regular interview, and we went on almost 2 hours, So
he was in the studio with us on our show about 2 months ago, and that was a fun episode.
Yeah.
So now we're going to be on his show in a couple of weeks. If you haven't listened yet, check him out. He's a great guy.
Yeah. And does
a great show.
Yeah. And like you said, it was like a fire pit, really. It was like almost a two-hour fire pit. Me and Ryan told a lot of, and Kevin too, a lot of our own personal stories and stuff like that. So if you like that, you'll enjoy it.
Good show. Genuinely nice guy. And what I like about him is he's a true believer. No bullshit with him.
Nope.
He believes the genre. And that's what you want from somebody in this niche is a believer.
Yeah, absolutely. And we appreciate him.
Absolutely. So in the news this week, so Sarah Harris called 911 twice back in January.
It was important.
It was very important. Bedford, Indiana. So the emergency was that she got a bad batch of meth from her dealer. Yeah. Which,
you got to report that shit.
That's an emergency. So when the police came out, she happily handed over the drugs so that they could test the quality. She thought it was like a service call,
right? You know what I mean? Cops, I'll give it a 3.5.
You guys got to help me give this guy a bad review on Yelp. His stuff is crap. They bagged her. She's facing up to 30 months in prison for the meth charge.
Yeah, real smart, huh?
Not by any stretch her first arrest.
But
she's been arrested a lot.
Yeah, and that's why she went for so long. But she did say she was willing to take the charge if it got her dealer busted for selling her the bad stuff.
And she did.
So, yeah, she's a real one.
truthfully, I don't think this lady can spare any more brain cells.
Yeah, it don't sound like
you should
it.
She's probably knock off the meth.
So. Yeah.
We'll catch you in 30 months.
Yeah.
So people giveth, and a former priest in Pottstown, Pennsylvania would happily taketh away.
Yes, he would. And such dumb shit.
I know. There's no way he was going to get away with this.
Like, no. This is so dumb.
Lawrence Kozak of the St. Thomas More Parish was arrested for stealing over $40,000 worth of church funds. And he used the money to buy gifts for family members and mostly online gambling.
It's not even real gambling. Yeah. You get no money. You know what it was? Fucking Candy Crush and some video slots don't pay out any money.
They don't pay out actual cash.
No, they pay out nothing.
His lawyer said about his online gambling, though, he was not gambling, but, quote, Powering up.
Powering up.
What the fuck does that mean?
I don't know, man. 40,000. I think it was over like 2 or 3 years, but $40,000. And that was that was what he took from their card.
Yeah.
He said that he had over $100,000 on his Apple account that had been charged to fucking games, man.
Candy Crush.
I think you can build your own game for that much. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, there's over 2,000 separate, at least 2,000 fraudulent charges, entries that they deem suspicious.
And that's your pastor or priest or whatever.
And he's the one people are coming to, right?
Yeah.
To confess.
For advice.
To confess their sins. So he owes us like 10 billion Our Fathers, 3 million Hail Marys. I want to sit down and hear his confession. Mm-hmm. So lastly, we get a Canadian family that made the first sighting of the Loch Ness Monster in 2024.
Yes. So they're still having sightings, guys. It's not dead and gone.
It seemed like there for a while it was.
It slowed.
Like slowed down a lot. But over the last 5 years, you're starting to hear about it again.
Yep. So I just snapped a picture of it from the video.
Yeah.
And the video just shows pictures. But I will post it to our Instagram.
So it was Perry, Mom, Shannon Wiseman, and their two kids. They were 3 and 5 of the kids. So they spotted something funny moving on the loch on a cold and windy day. They initially said that they thought it was a seal or an otter, but when they were explaining what they had seen to a local boat captain, they were informed that neither of those live in the lake.
Yeah. Yeah, you would think that would make more sense, but no, those aren't there either.
So they submitted the photos to the official Loch Ness Sighting Register, and the register contacted them and stated that their photos are definitely compelling evidence, and they're saying that they definitely have the first official sighting of 2024. I mean, there's something on the photo for sure, but I mean,
it's hard to tell. Yeah,
if you're a skeptic, it ain't gonna sway you.
No, this isn't gonna be like, oh my god, it's real. It's just, but it's another photo. Something's got its head out of the water, it's not a sturgeon, because that's what a lot of times they think. It's not an eel either.
No,
it's something that's in the water and it's got its head out of the water.
You can see like a little black head.
It could look like a seal. It could look like something, but it's definitely not the things that it's usually explained away as. It's usually explained, oh, that's a sturgeon that they're seeing. It's definitely not a sturgeon.
A log. That's a
fact. Yeah. And I mean, a log, I guess. But it doesn't look like no log. And and the eel is another one. They think that there's giant eels in it. That's not an eel head.
No, that's a big fucking eel.
Yeah. Yep. So
yeah, if you're a skeptic, it ain't going to convince you. If you're a believer, it's, you know, a decent piece of evidence.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It really could be anything from that distance. It's hard to say, but it's cool photos.
So Ryan didn't mention that we have a guest in the studio tonight.
Yeah.
We've got part of the crew. We've got Teddy. Ryan's dog is down here. So if you hear anything in the background whining, that's Ryan. And don't let him blame it on Teddy.
He's our security.
He's had a rough day today. He gets a little sad.
He's a security detail.
Yeah, so if you hear anything in the background, that's just Teddy, and it's going to be there.
He's a 60-pound sissy.
Yeah, he's a big one. He's grown a lot since I've seen him last.
It's only about 6 months. He's 60 pounds. He's going to be a horse.
Yeah, he is.
I worked today, and he was in his crate, so he wasn't a happy boy. So he's free right now, but he's still whining. He's going to let me hear about it.
He is, for sure.
So what do you got for us this week, bud?
Well, we're going to have some more stories, because this week I am going to do Florida Man.
Nice.
So you'll see.
I was like, you know, is it about the competition or no?
Nope. This is just different articles of people out of Florida. These are headlines and articles from different people out of Florida.
Nice. They give you a lot of material to work with.
It's too hard to pass up, man. It's too hard to pass up.
All right. We'll be right back with Florida Man.
Do you know what the most frightening thing?
All right, our first one, it comes from the Tampa Bay Times. Headline, Florida man robs bank, gets naked, runs down street throwing money. And this is how they go. Fort Lauderdale, authorities in Florida say they arrested a man who robbed a bank, stripped naked, and ran down the street throwing stolen money. All because he woke up Tuesday and wanted to be a comedian. 25-year-old Alexander Sperber is charged with bank robbery. He told authorities he parked his car at the bank, made a gun motion with his hand, and demanded money from the teller, who gave him $4,700 in a bag. Officials said a red dye pack exploded, staining his clothes and the cast that he had on his left wrist. Sperber then stripped naked, ran down the road, throwing stolen money to anyone around. He was taken to the hospital and found to be coherent and uninjured. So, this is how these go. This is Florida. Enjoy. The Atlantic Journal Constitution. 73-year-old woman, this is very, this one's similar to what we just had. 73-year-old woman, worried about meth she was smoking, asked doctor to test it. Yeah. Polk County resident Barbara Lee Ray said she was scared of what smoking it was doing to her, according to the Miami Herald, which cited an arrest affidavit and brought her doctor at the Complete Care Family Medicine Association office in Fort Meade, two clear plastic bags containing a crystallite substance on November 5th. Both bags tested positive for meth, the Herald reported. Although it was unclear how she obtained the drugs or why she was smoking it, she did tell her doctor she'd been smoking meth for about a month. Ray was arrested and booked in Polk County Jail on charges of methamphetamine possession and possession of drug paraphernalia. She was 73 years old.
She made it 73 years in just random way. You know what?
You know what I
haven't? Smoked some meth.
You know what I haven't done?
I haven't knocked off meth. My bucket list.
I mean, at 73, fuck it, right?
Yeah, I guess.
If you're going to start doing it, that's the time, I guess.
I could see me doing some stupid shit, but you know, I don't think meth is real high on the list.
No, it's definitely not up there. All right. This one comes from Patch.com. Florida man arrives in stolen Jeep to look for cell phone. Winter Haven, Florida. A Florida man allegedly drove a stolen Jeep back to the scene of his crime recently to ask if anybody had found his missing cell phone, which was pinging back to the residence, according to police. When 25-year-old Ronald Dylan Williams arrived at the home of the victim on March 24th in a tan Jeep Patriot, he was greeted by none other than Polk County Sheriff Deputy, who just happened to be conducting an interview about the stolen vehicle. The deputy arrested Ronnie for grand theft of a motor vehicle. She also charged him with driving while without a license. The vehicle was taken earlier in the day from outside the home. He told the deputy that he woke up in one of the victim's vehicles that morning. He couldn't remember which one, knocked on her door, but got no answer. The sheriff's office said of Williams, he hopped into the victim's Jeep and drove away. When he got home, he couldn't find his phone, so he tracked it back to the victim's house. The owner of the vehicle told the sheriff's office that she did not know Williams or had given him permission to drive the Jeep. The victim did recognize the suspect to be the same subject who was walking around the street earlier when she left with her husband to go to the mall. So,
what a moron, man.
All right, NBC Channel 8 News, Tampa, Florida. Florida man wakes up to find burglar sucking his toes. Deputy says, Bradenton, Florida. A Florida man woke up on Christmas Eve to find a burglar sucking on his toes, according to the Manatee County Sheriff's Office. When the Bradenton resident asked the stranger what he was doing in the house, the stranger said, "Well, asked the stranger, he said he was there to suck toes, according to the incident report obtained by the Bradenton Herald. I mean, that's how it goes, right?
Spreading the Christmas cheer, right?
A fight broke out, and during the struggle, the suspect tried to grab the victim's genitals. And he claimed to have a gun, the report says. Deputy said no weapons were found on the scene. The victim eventually forced the other man out of the house. But deputies say the suspect smashed one of the home's windows as well as the windshield of the resident's car. The Herald report said investigators swabbed the victim's toes for DNA and tried to track the suspect with a police dog. But the alleged toe-sucking burglar escaped. Officers are continuing to investigate. So this toe sucker is still on the loose, people.
Still at large.
So beware. If you're down in Florida enjoying a nice vacation and you wake up to some dude sucking on your toes.
You got to wonder how high that is on their priority list right now.
Oh,
the amount of freaks you're describing, I doubt the toe
sucker. Oh, they walked out the door. They threw that shit in the trash as soon as they went out the door. He's like, suck his toes? Yeah, some people like it. He was doing a service. All right. This one is from KIRO7.com. Florida man. So many, man. You type in Florida man, you get a billion different articles. There's so many. Florida man wearing only apron, boxers, and socks break into Little Caesars. Escambia County, Florida. A Florida man is accused of breaking into a Little Caesars restaurant after hours, dressed only in boxer shorts, socks, and employee's apron, authorities said. Chad Everett Korn, of 35, of Milton, was charged with burglary, larceny, and according to the Escambia County Sheriff's Office online booking records, deputies said Korn entered the restaurant on August 22nd through an unsecured front door. According to a news release from the sheriff's office, Korn was wearing only boxer shorts and tube socks when he entered the store. But he picked up a nice apron along the way. Deputy said he grabbed several water bottles and food items, including a brownie. Deputy said Korn was spotted, he was spotted with an employee's apron and wrapped it around his waist. There's something about boxer shorts, tube socks, and a corporate-inspired apron that must have empowered the burglar, the sheriff's office wrote on their Facebook post.
Love a good mystery that leaves you wanting more? Check out my podcast. Hi, I'm Kadra, the host of Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast. I tell tales every single week that have left me perplexed. You'll hear true crime cases, mysterious disappearances, learn about cults, hear baffling sightings of cryptids, chilling paranormal encounters, and even dark and weird history. I release new episodes every Wednesday, and you can listen anywhere podcasts are available. I'm also on Patreon, and you can even watch me on YouTube. Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast. Stories that will leave you perplexed.
I'm guessing whichever employee forgot to lock the fucking front door is an ex-employee at this point, right?
Probably not. It's so hard to get staff. It's so hard right now, isn't it, Teddy? Yes, it is. All right, Toronto Sun. Here's some brain surgeons here. All right. Florida couple trapped in unlocked closet for 2 days. It took 2 days for a Florida man who thought he was trapped in an unlocked janitor's closet with a woman to call 911 on his cell phone. And it was only until the police arrived that John Arwood, 31, and Amber Campbell, 25, realized they could have opened the door of to the closet at Daytona State College and walked out at any time. The Orlando Sentinel reported. The pair told police they were chased into the closet on Sunday, but Arwood didn't dial 911 until Tuesday. And his phone's location was tracked. The pair were found inside the closet along with feces and copper scouring pads, often used to smoke crack. No. According to the Sentinel, no drugs were found, but the pair still face several charges. I wonder why they didn't find any drugs.
They ran out of their supply.
That's why they could finally go. The dude had a phone. He thinks he's locked in the closet. He doesn't call anybody for days.
Clearly doesn't try the fucking doorknob. And even if it was locked, how hard is it to get out of a fucking closet, man?
Right. And it all depends on how much crack you got. ClickOrlando.com. Florida man accused of urinating in the middle of the street directing traffic. Fern Park, Florida. A 35-year-old Winter Park man, we're back in Winter Park again, was arrested on allegations of urinating in the middle of a roadway while directing traffic. Terrence Rouse was arrested around 1 p.m. Friday in Fern Park on charges of indecent exposure of sexual organs and possession or use of drug equipment. According to the Seminole County Sheriff's Office, a deputy en route near Lake of the Woods Boulevard and U.S. Highway 1791 spotted two vehicles stopped at the intersection with a man, later identified as Rouse, waving at vehicles to go around him. The deputy said he thought there had been an accident, but he saw Rouse urinating in the middle of the two lanes while using his other hand to wave drivers past him. The deputy conducted a traffic stop. He reported that Rouse said, "I drank a lot of water and couldn't wait for the light," before apologizing. Rouse was the passenger in the vehicle, and when the driver was interviewed by authorities, he said the backpack inside the car belonged to Rouse, according to the officers. Deputies said a bottle of marijuana residue, a digital scale, and baggies were found in the backpack. Rouse was arrested and taken to jail. Complex.com. Florida man arrested for calling 911 after his kitten was denied entry into a strip club. And why wouldn't you? Looks like someone took the five-letter P word the wrong way.
All right.
On June 5th, 47-year-old Everett Lags was arrested outside of Emerald City Strip Club in Murdoch, Florida. He continuously called 911 after the club's owner denied him entry because Lars had a kitten. Yep, a baby cat with him. After cops showed up, they put Lars in a cab and tried to send him home, which was a fail since Lars was severely intoxicated and continued to call 911 even after they put him in the car. They left. Yeah. Lars was later arrested and is now facing charges of misuse of emergency calling system.
You're not allowed to bring your own pussy to a strip
club. No, you can't, man. You got to pay for the shit that's there. You can't be bringing your own with you.
No, I don't need a private dance. I brought my own.
Get up there, cat.
Meow, 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 meow.
Climbs the pole. Disorderly intoxication, trespassing after warning, and resisting arrest without violations, all because of a wee little kitten. He'll be crying meow from his jail cell soon enough. All right. Teddy's getting in trouble, guys.
It's all wrapped up in my headphones.
All right. Barstool Sports or Pulse.ng. This is on both. Hey, buddy. Florida man gets arrested for breaking into ex-girlfriend's home and shitting on everything. Orange County, Florida. And that's the actual headline.
Is that really?
Yeah. I'm reading these headlines verbatim.
How did she let go of a gem like that?
Orange County, Florida. A family of four had a rude awakening Friday morning when the homeowner's ex broke in and defecated on several of the family's belongings. According to the Orange County Sheriff's Office, the victim was asleep at first, but at least one of the three children inside the home allegedly witnessed Michael Anthony Johnson, 27, of Apopka, break into the home and defecate on things, sheriff said. Johnson is accused on defecating on the victim's bed sheets, a glass kitchen plate, a wallet, and a dresser. Dude really had to didn't he? Good Lord. Were they all stacked on top of him?
He was stacking them up for a while. He had this planned out.
No shit. Oh, lots of shit. Plenty of shit. Johnson, who had previously been arrested for domestic assault, property damage, and resisting arrest, you don't say, had been ordered by a judge to stay away from the home and his girlfriend, but he had only been out of prison 2 days before violating the no-contact order. The suspect has been charged with burglary of an occupied dwelling, property damage, a health nuisance, providing false information to the police, petty theft, and aggravated harassment. So, if you have an ex that's pissed you off, try not to shit on her stuff. You go to jail.
If tales of ghostly hauntings, Bigfoot encounters, extraterrestrial interactions, and cosmic awakenings are your cup of tea, then join me, Eric Szilagyi, host of Uncomfortable Podcast, every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Make Uncomfortable your home for the topics that reside on the fringe of our reality. Eyewitnesses, researchers, and experiencers join me on a weekly basis to delve into their paranormal and otherworldly experiences. Heard in over 65 countries worldwide, follow Uncomfortable Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your casts. Uncomfortable is now presented in video form on YouTube as well. So, as always, my friends, stay uncomfortable.
You're only hearing one side of that story. You know,
it's a shitty story, folks.
They're misrepresenting that.
Yeah, I'd like to hear the other side of that. I'd love to hear that.
I only shit on four things. Yeah.
That bitch deserved like six things to be.
She shit on the plate herself.
I want that DNA tested. And I may suck on a toe or two before I'm out of here. Cron4.com News. Florida man caught hiding bag of pot in his rectum. There's your headline. Florida police said that a man who was arrested for allegedly shining a laser pointer at motorist while he will also be charged with smuggling contraband into prison after a bag of marijuana fell out of his ass during a search. According to police, a woman called police to report that someone shined a laser at her face while she was driving. The suspect had pointed the laser at several other vehicles while his girlfriend drove the car, police said. When officers stopped the couple's car and asked the woman if she knew why she was pulled over, she said, "Because Jesse was shining the laser light at people and I told him not to." I don't know how to say Jesse's last name here, so let's see. Jesse Ropecki? Ropecki?
Nailed it.
27. Perfect. 27 told officers he didn't know that it was illegal and that he was just having fun. He didn't know it was illegal to shine a laser in their light while they're driving down the road. Officers later found a device for smoking marijuana, you don't say. And Ropecki was arrested and taken to the Volusia County Jail. While he was being searched at the jail, a deputy told him to cough, and that's when a plastic bag containing 18 grams of pot fell to the floor. He's now been charged with pointing a laser light at a driver, possession of paraphernalia, and other related ass drug charges. A big bag of weed just shot out his ass.
He's got a gaper, man. He must usually pack a couple pounds up there. You know?
I don't know what 18 grams is. When I was younger, we bought that shit by the nickel or dime bag.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's a bit, but yeah. I don't know.
He usually packs a couple keys up there, so an amount like that wasn't going to stay. They found like four laser pointers in his ass, too.
Spare. Right in the old...
You got to have a spare.
He needs to work on the prison pocket. He needs a zipper on that bad boy.
They'll take care of that once he goes on the inside.
Yeah, he'll be able to fit more stuff, but it'll probably fall right out. All right, HuffPost.com. Rick Myers, Florida man, arrested picking mushrooms in state forest with alligator in his backpack. Wildlife officials arrested five men in Little Econ State Forest in Seminole County Sunday after an officer found them with magic mushrooms, marijuana, and an alligator in the backpack. According to Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission spokeswoman Joy Hill. Hill said the group was stopped for picking hallucinogen magic mushrooms. You know the word and you'll be able to say it. Look at that.
Psilocybin? I don't know.
It's magic mushrooms. You guys will know exactly what it is.
It's not my job to pronounce shit this week.
I guess they grow naturally in that forest. So I know magic mushrooms. I've always known them that they grew on cow patties.
Yeah.
In or under. But apparently they just sprout up all over in Florida. But during a search, an officer discovered a 2-foot alligator wrapped in a bandana and stuffed into the backpack of the 30-year-old Titouville resident Rick Meyer. Rick Myers was charged with felony drug possession, misdemeanor removal of plant life, possession of an alligator, and an unrelated probation violation. Go figure.
That's a real charge.
He got charged with possession of an alley in Florida. It has to be. You know how many stories there I didn't include where they robbed places with fucking alligators. They robbed a Wendy's. I know I saw that one. The dude robbed a Wendy's with an alligator. He threw it out through the drive-thru or something.
You got to keep a spare.
You never have too many alligators.
It's embarrassing to leave your house and realize you didn't bring your
hands up. Oh, shit. Wait, I don't have my alligator with me. Resume what you were doing. The alligator was removed, revived a little bit, and released unharmed into a nearby canal, Hill said. Myers told officers he intended to take photos of it before letting it go. Fox13news.com. Florida man tried to enter Space Force Base to warn of U.S. aliens versus Chinese dragons fight, deputy says. This is real people. There's a lot of drugs in Florida. Cocoa Beach, Florida. A Florida man was arrested after stealing a vehicle to enter a Space Force base and warn the government there were aliens fighting dragons, deputy said. On Friday, 29-year-old Corey Allen Johnson was arrested for grand theft. According to his arrest affidavit, he told Brevard County deputies he stole the 2013 Ford F-150 3 days before and did not know who the owner was. He stated the President of the United States told him in his head that he needed to take the vehicle. Deputies wrote in the affidavit, he drove the vehicle to Patrick Air Force Base, where he attempted to get on the base because he was told by the president he needed to tell the government there were U.S. aliens fighting with Chinese dragons. Patrick Space Force Base. It's so weird to say Space Force Base. There was no such thing when I was in. It just sounds weird. It was located between Satellite Beach and Cocoa Beach on the east coast of Florida. Deputy said the vehicle was reported stolen out of the Riviera Beach. Johnson was arrested and booked in the Brevard County Jail.
Did they even attempt to verify his story?
I mean,
why are we just assuming he's lying?
I mean, they came straight from the fucking president.
Called Biden, he okayed it. Yeah.
No, seriously, it's the president.
Just called me this morning.
In my head.
In my head. top secret.
Yeah.
Very hush hush.
I would tell you more, but it's above your pay grade.
I've already said too much.
It's classified.
The dragons are listening.
I need to see your clearance. All right, this one from clickondetroit.com. Florida woman named Crystal Methvin arrested for crystal meth possession. You don't say. A Florida woman named Crystal Methvin was arrested Saturday on charges of crystal meth possession. The police had responded to an anonymous tip that had led them to a parking lot where three people were sitting in a car. Police said they searched the vehicle and found drug paraphernalia and a substance that tested positive for crystal methamphetamine. Methvin, 40, and Douglas Nickerson, 41, were arrested for drug possession, and according to the St. Johns County Sheriff's Office, no details on the third person was released. According to jail records, Methvin has faced drug charges at least 14 other times. She remains in the St. John County Jail.
The unnamed third individual's last name was Krakow.
I'm guessing. Krakow. Okay, here's an interesting one. This one comes from MyNBC15.com. Armless Florida man accused of stabbing tourist. Washington County, Florida. A homeless Florida man with no arms has been arrested for stabbing a tourist with scissors using his feet, police say. Jonathan Dale Crenshaw, a homeless artist from South Beach, Florida, was arrested Tuesday and charged with aggravated battery after he allegedly stabbed Cesar Coronado, a visiting tourist from Chicago, according to NBC 6 Miami. According to a witness, Coronado was asking Crenshaw for directions when the man suddenly attacked him, stabbing him in the arm before fleeing on foot, it says. Of course, he had no arms. Coronado said, "I'm not from here, and this is not what I came for. I came for vacation," Coronado told NBC 6. "I just said, do you know where this is? But as soon as I talked, the only thing he reacted was, he just cut me." After being found near the scene by police, Crenshaw told officers that he was lying down when a man came up to him and punched him in the head. Crenshaw said he pulled the pair of scissors from his suitcase with his feet and stabbed the man twice to defend himself, according to officers. My question is, how the fuck does this guy carry a briefcase?
I know.
He's got, I guess, a backpack won't fucking stay on. I'm thinking. That funny. I'm thinking, why didn't he just get a fucking backpack instead of a brick?
That is a good question.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry. Sorry, Teddy. Oh, where was I? So I said he pulled a pair of scissors from his suitcase with his feet and stabbed the man twice to defend himself, according to officers. Why would I go and attack someone? No, I wouldn't do that, Coronado said. It's like, how the hell did I get stabbed? Like, is this the right guy at this point? Because I can't believe with his legs someone could do that. Crenshaw is now being held in jail on a $7,500 bond. Good God. So I gotta catch my breath a second. He stabbed him twice with his feet.
I think I don't see that coming.
He must be. I've seen shows where people who don't have any arms, and they'll be like washing their vegetables in the sink with their feet and stuff.
It's impressive for sure.
It's still gross. But I mean, to just pull out a pair of scissors out of a bag and just shank somebody, you're definitely not expecting it. That's for sure. All right. This one is from Fox13News.com. Florida teacher accused of biting two students over a jar of pickles. Barton, Florida. A Florida teacher was suspended and reassigned to a different school and now faces charges after being accused of biting two students over a jar of pickles. A spokesman with Polk County Public Schools in Bartow, Florida, said a complaint affidavit of two counts of battery was filed against Rhonda Rice, who used to be a teacher at Bartow Middle School. According to the affidavit, last October, Rice was in her classroom when she observed two students taking items from the kitchen storage area. Rice then grabbed a jar of pickles off the shelf, and the students thought she was taking them for herself. One student grabbed the jar in an attempt to place it back on the shelf when Rice bit him in order to release the jar. According to the affidavit, the second student then also tried to grab the jar, and Rice bit him as well. The school district said last November the two students reported Rice. Rice told the school district that she was playing with both students over the jar of pickles, and when they grabbed it, she licked their arm to get them off. She said she didn't bite them, she licked them.
That story's just fucking weird.
Last December, the school district sent Rice a letter saying that she was suspended without pay for 3 days, and she was transferred to Sleepy Hill Middle School, where she has to wear a muzzle. The letter said the involuntary transfer was part of the teacher's collective bargaining agreement. The state attorney's office said Rice is expected to appear in court March 31st. Florida woman. And that is it for what I got this time. So you can always count on Florida man, Florida woman, or Florida couple.
You could have done like 10 of them. And not
I will. If people like that, I'll throw one in every now and then. They're fun.
Yeah.
It's a nice palate cleanser after some murderers.
Unless you live in Florida.
I could try a different state. It's not going to be as many, but I mean, you know, they're out there.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Every state's got a bunch, but it's nice to pick on Florida. Sorry, Florida. You got the good weather. So, anyways, that's it for Florida Man. We are going to go to the fire pit, but before we do, if you have any stories, we've gotten a few. We appreciate you guys sending them in. After the call that we needed some of you guys came through for us, and we really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
But your stories, send them in, guys. It can be anything. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. You know, if you're afraid to just have your voice out there, it's no big deal.
If you are shy, write it.
We'll read it.
We'll
read it for sure. So send them to beyondtheshadows207@gmail.com or send them to us on Facebook, Instagram, any of the socials that we're on. Send them in. They can be anything, paranormal, funny, crazy, anything.
Weirder the better.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll catch you in the fire pit, guys.
See you there.
I guess you know what time it is.
So this week's fire pit comes to us from Heather. She's PrissyGirl03 on Instagram.
Yeah, Heather's been a huge supporter of the show. She's awesome. We really appreciate her. She heard we were running low on fire pits, so she stepped up her game, and she brought one to you guys.
That's
so
how you come through in the clutch. Thank you.
That's how you do it. We appreciate you so much for this. And the rest of you guys, you gotta catch up to Heather. Come on. All right, here we go.
Hey guys, I decided to finally not be super scared to do this because you were running low on fire pit stories, and I, for one, love fire pit stories and love hearing everybody else's stories as well. Not that I don't love the podcast, because I absolutely fucking do, but I didn't want everybody else to feel like me, so I thought I would contribute a fire pit story so that, like, other people can enjoy them. So, my story is my first, like, full apparition paranormal encounter in Gettysburg. I don't remember how old I was. I would like to say, like, I don't know, like 12, maybe 14. My dad is a Civil War buff, and we spent a lot of my childhood traveling to very many Civil War battlefield locations, and I fell in love with Gettysburg. And I don't know if it's part of, like, hearing or, like, seeing this apparition is what made me love Gettysburg, or if it's the history, or if it's just because, like, my dad has, but I digress. So we were staying in this hotel. I don't remember what the hotel was called, but it was right next to this little house that is a stop on, like, ghost tours and battlefield tours. And I remember my sister and I were walking. Like, the way that it was set up, there was, like, the hotel, and then there was, like, this sidewalk thing, and then there was this other house beside us, which was the one on the tour. And you would walk through this little pathway into a courtyard, and then you turn left, and then you go up the stairs, and then you walk forward, and then you're at the front of the hotel on, like, the like an outdoor balcony. You know how, like, some of those older hotels, like, the balcony's on the outside, and it's just a really long, like, outside hallway, and all of the doors are on the outside there. So we are getting ready to go out and do something, and my parents are like, hey, run down to the car and get this stuff. And I'm like, okay. So I go downstairs, I get the stuff, I'm coming back up, and my sister is coming out of the hotel room, and she was like, oh, hang on, let me get something. And I turn around, and at the corner where, like, you would turn left to go down the stairs, right there at the corner, probably three or four doors from me, is this white full body apparition of this lady. And I stood there and I looked at her for just, I don't know, it felt like ages, but it was probably just, you know, milliseconds, you know what I mean? And I was like, holy shit, what is that? And then my sister come out the door, and I turned my head and I turned back, and she was gone. And I was like, dude, did you fucking see that? And she was like, see what? And I told her about it, and she was like, well, no, but when I was going through the courtyard, I saw somebody, but I could see through her, and I didn't, you know, say anything because I didn't want anybody to think I was crazy. And I was like, that was really freaking weird. So we brushed it off until the next day, and we're doing this, you know, battlefield tour, and we go into the house right next to our hotel, and the house is Jenny Wade's house. And Jenny Wade is one of the civilian casualties, the only woman killed in the Gettysburg War. A sharpshooter was taking a shot, and it went through her kitchen door, which is right next to the little sidewalk and the courtyard, right next to our hallway. It went right through the kitchen door. She was kneading biscuits, and it pierced her heart and killed her instantly. And when we saw the picture of her, you know, in her house, it was her. And we just, like, looked at each other, and, like, our faces went white, and we were like, holy shit, are you freaking kidding me? Like, backstory, our dad is the pastor of a Southern Baptist church. Well, he's not anymore. He's an assistant pastor somewhere else. But he was a pastor of a Southern Baptist church, and vehemently against any type of paranormal stuff like that. So, you know, our upbringing didn't have anything like that. The only paranormal stuff there was are just demons, and it's the devil, you know what I mean? So, like, we were so confused at that point, because we're like, okay, that was not a demon. That was absolutely a spirit, but apparently spirits don't exist, because, okay, so what is going on? And after that, it's just, you know, both of us has kind of been very, very much into the paranormal. So, yeah, that was my short little blurb about seeing the ghost of Jenny Wade at Gettysburg. And ever since then, I have been dreaming of going back as an adult without my father to be able to do all of the freaking ghost tours that they have there. Because I'm like, hey, if I've already seen Jenny Wade, you know, I'll probably be able to see more, right? But anywho, thanks for listening. I hope this doesn't suck.
That doesn't suck at all. That was a
great story. No, it was a great story. Ryan loves Gettysburg. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's a big Civil War buff, and he saw stuff down there. I think he told it in a fire pit. So, yeah,
I think it was way back. But yeah, your story is great, and it's not very often that you can actually like positively identify your ghost.
Who it was. Yeah, that's awesome.
I've been in the Jenny Wade house, and it's fascinating. Like, I agree with you. Gettysburg is fascinating, the history. And yeah, I got yelled at by a ghost down there and told to get off the battlefield. I didn't see it, but
it's because you're fucking around and it set you straight.
Hey, you get out of here. Yeah. I was fucking gone. But yeah, that was a great story.
That's awesome. Guys, anything you got, send it in. We appreciate that, Heather, so much. Really, that was a great story. Anything, guys. Anything you got, keep them coming. And that's going to wrap it for this show. Get your stories in, and we will catch you in the next one.
Later, guys.
Hi, my name is Joe, and I'm the host of Tales, Trails, and Taverns. In this show, Rob and I like to take an active approach by hiking out to haunted, creepy, and abandoned places. We love the adventure and discovering the dark history of the locations we visit. We release a new episode every Friday on Apple, Spotify, and Patreon, as well as bonus episodes on varying Tuesdays. But don't just take my word for it, we have great listeners who have left some awesome reviews.
Oh, I love adventure, but during those times when I can't get to the Outback, oh, I like to listen to Tales, Trails, and Taverns. Those boys dig deep into the dark history, and their first-hand experiences really delivers the excitement. This podcast is a beaut. Back when I was the governor, I didn't have time to listen to podcasts. But now that I'm retired from politics, I can focus on my two passions, pumping iron and listening to Tales, Trails, and Taverns.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is that we all listen to Tales, Trails, and Taverns.
I love listening to the podcast. Wait, what's a podcast again?
It's an audio show you listen to.
Oh, like on the radio?
Sort of, yeah.
Okay. I love listening to Tulips and Tiddlywinks.
It's Tales, Trails, and Taverns.
And what do you do again?
Hike to scary places and drink beer.
Sounds terrifying. Okay. I like to listen to Terrifying Tea Time, but not on the radio.
Okay, thank you. You did great.
You're welcome. Say, you're kind of cute. Is there a Mrs. Tales, Trails, and Taverns?
Now you get it?
No actual celebrities or political figures have endorsed Tales, Trails, and Taverns. All the reviews you've heard were written, poorly, by the host, George Lennox, as well as the impersonations of celebrities, politicians, and movie characters. I meant no harm. Please don't sue me.